So that kind of tied in with this sermon the Lord gave me, and here it is. The sermon title is called, Do You Need Help?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you for this wonderful service that you've given to us to worship you. We will not fail to give you praise, Lord. We thank you, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. Amen. Well, we've been majoring on the name of Jesus, have we not? Some of us have used that name in a way that it shouldn't have been used in the past. But we look over at the signs here and it says, Jesus is alive. Last week we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus is alive. If Jesus wasn't alive, I wouldn't be here today. I can tell you that. Because I wouldn't waste my time if Jesus wasn't alive. See, there's all kinds of other religions out there that worship all kinds of different leaders and different gods, but guess what? They're all dead. But my Jesus, he's alive. Sister Sheila, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I have a message that the Lord has given to me, and Pastor Aaron's going to preach it this morning. Amen. Are you ready? He asked me this morning when I came in, he said, are you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. He didn't know I was going to call on him to preach. No, actually, I do have a word that the Lord has given to me this morning, and I want you to go with me this morning to Psalm 121. The book of Psalms, Psalm 121, and I'm going to read the entire psalm, Sister Joyce. Don't worry, it's not 151 verses, all right? Everybody there with me this morning. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day or the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Somebody say amen to the word of God. Now, interesting enough, as the Lord had given me this message, last night I thought to myself, wow, I was working here and it looks so nice, I should go out fishing this evening. How many of you guys say that's a good idea, right? Some gals say that's a good idea. And so I said to myself, self, that's a good idea. And so I went and had a great time. In an hour and a half, I caught 10 fish, and that's like a record for me, you know. And just having a great time. But here was this boat that was in the water there and had a husband and wife on it and maybe a 6-8-year-old child. And they were just struggling. I mean, just there, couldn't catch fish. And so I, in my kayak, and I kind of pulled up. I didn't want to get too close. Sometimes people get irritated when you get too close. And I said, hey, I don't know if you realize where you're fishing at, but right underneath here, there's some logs and there's fish under there. And I said, I have some bait that will catch some of those fish for you. And he said, really, what is it? And I said, I told him what it was. And I said, I've got an entire bag here. I'm willing to give it to you. Would you like it so your little one could catch some fish and have some good time? And you know what the answer was? No, I'm good. I'm good. I'll keep using what I'm using. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to us as Larry and I have been out or some others been out. And we say, hey, here's what's catching fish. Would you like some? No, thanks. I'm good. Now, I don't know about you, but if I go fishing, I want to do what? Catch fish, right? So if somebody offers me something, I see that that's working, I want to use that. So that kind of tied in with this sermon that the Lord gave me, and here it is. The sermon title is called, Do You Need Help? Now you guys can all probably think of sometimes when you have offered help to someone, and what have they said? I'm good. Really? So this psalmist talks about this. And I love that very first verse. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Now, there are, in studying this, you're going to find a couple different things. Most of the time, what comes up is this. That the Hebrew people, from wherever they were at, they made a trip at least yearly to Jerusalem. And going to Jerusalem from the places that they were in the desert areas, Jerusalem is up on a plateau. And so oftentimes as they were going, they would sing songs of ascent. They were climbing the mountain to Jerusalem, and that was considered the hills. And so I lift mine eyes to the hills, because in that particular time, that's where the temple was at, and that's where Jehovah God was at. And they're lifting their eyes towards Him and saying, where does my help come from? And as they went along and got closer, saying, my help comes from who? My help comes from the Lord. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Where does our help come from today? Are we climbing a mountain to go to Jerusalem? We're not climbing to go there, but we are on our way to see the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Where does our help come from? Now, some also say that this refers to the Hebrew people as they were going along, oftentimes that their enemies would have idols that were set up, and they would set them up in high places on the hills. So in either case, as they looked upon those, they might ask the question, as I'm looking upon the hills and I might see some of these other gods that are up there, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord Himself. And so as we key in on this, the question that they ask, and I think the question for us, is, do I need help? How many of you need help? Do we need help? Yes. That Hebrew word, you guys all know I love to, there's no sense of reading this word of God unless you understand it, right? Where my help comes from, that Hebrew word means to surround, to protect, and to aid. So in other words, my help, my surrounding, my aiding me whenever I need something, or my protection comes from the Lord. He is surrounding me. He should be, we hear that word surround by surround sound. How many of you have surround sound in your houses? How many of you have surround sound by your husband or wife? You know, they're just constantly. Philip, thank you for raising your hand there. Okay? You will pay for that later. Okay. Okay. You saved yourself on that one, brother. Here's the thing, though. As far as God, when we know that our protection and our surrounding comes from Him, this protection will come when we acknowledge our needs. And this is really important for us to understand, because all of us will say, yeah, I need help. But then sometimes we're the ones that are saying, nah, I'm good. Now, just as a show of hands, how many of you have ever said, no, I'm good, when somebody asks you? Thank you for being honest. Because I believe that this message is for us today, and we're going to look at this question, where does my help come from? Do I need this help? Psalm 91, and we're going to be jumping back here a little bit in Psalm 91, verse 9, as we'll start, the psalmist said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all of your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. But look at verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. The Lord will always be there to protect and surround us and to aid us when we acknowledge our needs. The problem is, some of us go through life, and even after we get saved, after we say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life, and then we go on about our daily business, doing things the way we want to do, and we never ask God for help. We never acknowledge Him. And this is the problem with the body of Christ today, is that I said a prayer one time in my life and then forget everything else. I'm doing my normal thing. The psalmist said there, the one that calls on His name. Jeremiah 33 talks about this as well. And you guys might recall this, where Jeremiah says, call on me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you are not aware of. The problem is that we're not calling on Him. Some of us do, but my thing that God is speaking to me here this morning is we're not calling upon God as much as we should. There is a very interesting portion of Scripture, and I want you to jump over with me to the Gospel of Mark. In Mark's Gospel, this is the only place that this shows this. Now, the other Gospels talk about this story, and you will recognize it perhaps as we go through here. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. And straightway he, Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Now he had just got done preaching and he told his disciples, get into the boat. Now the word constrained there means that he didn't say, if you feel like getting into the boat. He said, get into the boat. But we want to stay here. Get into the boat. But we don't feel like it. Get into the boat. How many of us are those people? We don't feel like it. I don't want to. Jesus constrained them to get into the boat. Now, this is interesting. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He went alone to pray. And when evening time was come, the ship was in the middle of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. In other words, there was a big storm that came up out there on the lake. If you've ever been on a lake, on a boat, I know, Pat, you have, been in the Coast Guard, and a storm comes up. It's not fun. Matter of fact, it's downright scary. And just here last year, even on Tigert Lake in Grafton, a storm came out of nowhere. We were on the lake. And seriously, the waves were 3 to 4 foot high. In our kinds of boats, that's not exciting, is it, Larry? So these disciples were out there rowing in this, and things were bad. He saw them in the fourth watch of the night. He cometh unto them walking upon the sea. Look at this. And would have passed them by. Now, this is an interesting thing here. Jesus saw them toiling. He saw the trouble that they were in. But yet, what was his posture, Lee? Oh, you're having trouble. Was it that Jesus didn't care about them? It wasn't that. But Jesus was waiting for something to happen. You know what it was? Calling upon him in their time of trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. It was like Jesus walking by and saying, I see you're having trouble. You need any help? No, I'm good. And it's like Jesus is saying to us, really? You're good? Yeah, I'm good. And sometimes we ask people several times. The story goes, there was an older gentleman that was at Lowe's. And he had just purchased several bags of concrete, the 80-pound bags. And he was in his 80s. And here he was, just picking those bags up and trying to put them into his car. And here comes a woman and her husband along, and the woman nudges her husband and says, go help him. How many of you ladies ever done that before? Sometimes guys are a little slow, and the women say, amen, right? So the man goes up and says to this older man, you know, he is 30 years old, the man is in his 80s. Sir, I can see you're struggling. Can I help you with that? What does he say? No, I got it. So he says to him the second time, sir, are you really sure those are 80-pound bags? I'm a young man. I can help you pick them up. Can I help you with that? No, I'm good. The third time, can I help you with that? And he says, I told you I'm good. I can do this. Now, here's my question. What's the issue there? The issue is pride. Hey, Pastor Aaron. Not this, that pastor back there. He's pastor over the thermostat. These guys are waving their... Turn on the air a little bit here for us. Okay? I don't want you guys falling asleep on me, all right? The issue here... Refusing help is a key indicator of pride. Now it gets quiet in here, right? When people ask us, do you need help? And we're saying, nah, I got it. I got it. This little sneaky indicator is pride. Now, a lot of times we don't realize this. We think, no, I got this. I can do this. I can, you know, I don't need your help. I want you to turn back with me. I want you to see the example that I'm going to give you. And this is in the book of Exodus. Way back in the Old Testament, Exodus, chapter 18. And this is from a little-known character in the Bible named Moses. Anybody ever heard of him before? Oh, you have? Okay, good. So we hear Moses, like, crossing the Red Sea and hitting that, and water coming out of a rock. Great guy, right? Here's another story about Moses. He's out after they've crossed the Red Sea, and his father-in-law comes to visit him, and his name is Jethro. Okay, here's the story. Here's where we're going to pick this up at. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. And it came to pass in the morning that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning to evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw that what he did to the people, he said to Moses, "What is this thing that you're doing to the people? Why do you sit all by yourself alone, and all the people stand by morning to evening waiting for you?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of the Lord." Do you get the picture? There's thousands of people that are waiting in line. It's kind of like being at the DMV, right? Pick a number and wait for 2 or 3 hours till your number is called. And just the time you think your number is going to get called, they say someone else's number. Well, same thing here. The people were waiting. And Jethro says, "Why are you doing this? And they that have a matter come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws." And Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform this thing yourself alone." Now, we find out from there what happens. Jethro says, "Hearken to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. But be thou for the people Godward, that you may bring the causes to God." Here's what was happening. Moses was taking all this stuff on himself. And most likely, other people were coming to him that were leaders and saying, "Can I help you with that?" And what did Moses say? "I'm good. I got this. The people are coming to me." So I have to wonder what the issue was here. We know Moses was not a perfect man. Moses had some issues later on. He says, "Do I have to constantly look out for these people?" And he smacks a rock when God says, "Don't do it." Was Moses the old man? "You need some help? I got it. I'm good." And I think that there's a lot of us today that do that. We miss out. You know, another phrasing here that we hear from those that are refusing help is, "Well, you know, if you want to get something done right..." How many have said that? Thank you for being honest. I hope the conviction of the Lord is upon you. I only say that because I used to say that when I was younger. I said that a lot. But the Lord convicted me. I don't say that anymore. Here's another one that is a sneaky one that covers up pride. "Well, I don't want to be a burden to someone else." Anybody ever say that one before? People offer us help and we say, "No thanks, I'm good. I don't want to be a burden to anybody." Well, you're going exactly against what God said for us to do as the body of Christ. Galatians talks to us in Galatians chapter 6, and jump over there because this just isn't me that is telling you these things. This is the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Does your Bible say the same thing, bear ye one another's burdens? Then this sneaky little phrase, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me that over the years. When I say, why didn't I know about this as your pastor? To be able to pray with you, to help you through this. Well, I didn't want to be a burden. When our jobs are to help one another as the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. But pride steps in and says, nah, I don't want to be a burden. Remember, Satan is a liar. I talked about that, remember, last week? He's the father of all lies. And so here's the lies that he throws up to us. They really are, you know, you're going to be a burden to others if you ask for help. You know, you can do this yourself. How many of us have hurt ourselves trying to do stuff when we should have asked for help? Some of us walk around with bad backs from earlier in our lives when we were offered help and we said, no, I got this. I can do this. And so you do it and something pulls or jerks or twists and the next thing you know, you're walking around like, and then somebody says to you, hey, can I help you? No, I got this. When are we going to get rid of this pride? My goodness. You know, these are lies from Satan. If we refuse help from others, we're most likely going to refuse help from God. It's just the way that it works. And that grieves his heart. It really does. It grieves God's heart. Because what we just read in the book of Psalms earlier was that he is our help in times of trouble. He wants to be there to surround you. He wants to be there to aid with you. But we're saying, I got this. I got this. And it grieves the heart of God, grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, I do want to move on here with this, that God does expect us to live our lives on this earth. Okay? And I wrote this down. He did not design us as puppets. You understand that? We were created in the image of God. So that means he expects us to live our lives. Some people get this idea that the Lord is just a, you know, he's got you on puppet strings and he's just going to move you wherever he wants to move you, and he's going to do this, and if he wants you to jump, he's going to do that. And that is not how God made us. He created us in his own image, and he gave us a life to live. And he expects us to go on with that life. He doesn't expect us to say, God, do you want me to brush my teeth tonight? Or, God, do you want me to brush my teeth or take a shower before I come to church? How many of you ask God that? You don't. You just live your life. But here's the thing that God says, when there are times of trouble, I expect you to call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you're not aware of. I will help you and surround you in that because I am your helper. Call on me. Call on me, the Lord says. We're made in his image. Psalm 121, again, go back there where we started from. Because I want you to see this. In verses 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going in and your coming out from this time and forevermore. In other words, as we are living our lives, the Lord is preserving us. The Lord is watching us. The Lord is surrounding us as we call upon Him on a daily basis and say, Lord, today, would you use me? Today, would you surround me with your love? Today, God, may I be a blessing to others, and may others be a blessing to me. Here's the thing. In order for us to learn to do that, we have to learn to let others help us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some of us, you know that you're the ones that have been lifting your hands saying, I'm good, I can do this, I can do this. Put down that pride. Because you can look many times in your life and you see when people have asked you, can I help you with something? And you say, I believe that God is wanting His body of Christ to become knit together as one. Sometimes we want to be the ones helping others. Oh, we want to help you. We want to help you. But you will not accept help yourself. That's pride. And God says, I cannot work with that. I want to come back to the question, do you need help? I hope our answer is yes. Let's let God help us, number one. Number two, don't refuse help when it is offered to you. And some of us say, yeah, but I really don't need your help. I really don't need your help. God is trying to do something in you when help is offered to you. If it's to put down that pride, if it's to fellowship with someone else, sometimes you may not need the actual help, but just having someone there that you might be able to just bond with and have a fellowship together with and to help them perhaps in some things, let them help you. Let them help you. And when asked, help others when you see a need. I come back to, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Do we need help? Will you accept the help? And will you give help to others? How many of you, raise your hand if you will commit to those three things. I will call upon the Lord. I will accept help. And I will give help. Now, God saw your hand. No more of this. I'm good. I believe this is vitally important for us today to be able to learn this, what God's heart was for His body. Amen. Father, thank you for this word that you have given to us today. And we need you, Lord. We definitely need you. And I pray that you would work in each one of us to get rid of that pride. And I'll thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for working in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.